kind of pick up where I left off. I said I had 4 points. I gave you one last Sunday morning, and then we flew off to Florida. Please continue to pray for the Benellas as they're still in search of a house. And so pray that they find something very soon. How many are you looking at tomorrow? 1, 2, 3, 4, 10? Three houses tomorrow? They've looked at a couple already? Oh, yeah, right. So pray that just God works it all out. Amen. God has worked things out so far. Hey, I shared with the folks Wednesday that you know, the sale fell through. But then you text me and said you have another purchase offer. Is that still? Yes. Hallelujah. Boy, that was a fast. That was quick. You know, we got the word that it fell through and it's like, oh, you know, it's almost like, Lord, what are you doing? Right. I mean, that's. And then all of a sudden, just as quick as that, they got another offer on the house. So that's a blessing. That really is good. So keep that in prayer that they can get the house sold in Florida, and everything goes through, and then they can find a house here and get settled in. Yes, sir, Chris. I saw that. Right. Yep. Oh yeah, and I think we saw one, the New International Revised version. That's, I don't know when that came out, but there's a NIRV. So now there's, you know, you take the NIV and you revise it, and this book is revised. I'm glad this one's not. This is God's book we have here. That's what we're going to get into tonight. Is talking again about the importance of God's word. I'm going to emphasize this again, and you know where I stand on this. I don't even have to. We all take the same stand on the King James Bible. Amen. That's not an issue, right? I mean, it's an issue. Don't get me wrong, but that's not the issue that I'm going to be looking at. We could do all kinds of historical things. We could do all kinds of. We could get into that. We've learned a lot of that in our Bible Institute, which right now we're on a little vacation from that. I will bring that up again, though. If anybody's interested in the Bible Institute, you have to register before July 1st, right? July 1 is the deadline. Paul's got information. There's information back there on the back table. It is outstanding. I told Brother Serino that. He's very familiar with it. Their church has gone through it. Their son's church is going through it right now, the Faith Bible Institute. So they love it. I mean, everybody that I've talked to that has gone through this institute, really enjoys it. And John Yates, the pastor, does a fantastic job teaching it and putting it all together. We're just waiting on our final grade. We haven't got our final grade yet, but we're waiting on that. We should hear this week what our grades are. Oh, Paul said this morning, everybody that's in the Institute, check your emails. They may be sending them directly to you. So those of you that are in the Institute, check your emails. If you see something from Faith Bible Institute, might have some information there. Might give you the grade. We don't know yet. He thinks that's what's going to take place. But again, I highly recommend it. It's the least expensive thing I've ever seen to get a college, you know, diploma. It's fantastic. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and you learn a lot. Now you got to be dedicated. You got to be dedicated. If you're not dedicated, don't do it. Okay? Serious. If you're not dedicated, don't do it. It takes dedication. It takes reading every day. It takes work. You have homework. Homework. You know. But the homework is good homework because you're reading your Bible every day. And they run you through a Bible, kind of a Bible reading thing themselves. Plus, there's some other reading that you do in Wilmington's Guide of the Bible. But it's an outstanding program. So I'm glad we're in it. Kathy and I are doing it together. It's a blessing when husbands and wives sign up for something like that and do it together. We kind of work on that ourselves together somewhat, and it's a blessing. You will, if you don't know anything about it, talk to Paul. He's in charge of it, and he'll give you the rundown, and if you want to sign up for it, he'll give you all the prices. Prices are very, very inexpensive. And so anyway, Psalm 119. Go over there, please. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. While you're turning over there, I just have some brief things that I wanted to share with you about the Word of God. Now, I am big, listen to me, I am big in reading your Bible through. Read your Bible through. I believe that you need to read your Bible through. Everybody does it differently. Some people, you know, they'll read it through several times a year. Some people work on reading through it once a year. You read it as many times as you want, as you can, but read your Bible and read it through. That means you start from the beginning and you read it through to the end. Let me just give you this little poem that I found this afternoon. When you read your Bible through, it says, I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapter of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd. 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the Word. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a-weary and yawn through a hurried prayer, you who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. Reading the Bible through gives you much more knowledge of the Word of God. It gives you a better understanding of the Word of God. And I know that people do things differently, and I'm not, you know, listen, I'm not telling you what to do. I just recommend that you read your Bible. Paul and I was talking about this, I think this morning. We were talking about 1 John and what a blessing it is to read part of 1 John every day. But the thing is, too, is you wouldn't pick up a novel and read page 50 today and then go back and read page 35 tomorrow and jump over to the 19th chapter, you know, next week. You will start from the beginning of that novel and you'll read it through to get the whole thrust of the story, right? Right? So what do we do with the Bible? But somebody, I'll just read a little here there, and I'll read a little over here and there, and I'll read a little of this. No, that's not the way you read a book. You start from the beginning and you read it through. Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Father, thank you for the Word of God. What a blessing to have a copy of your pure, perfect, preserved, inerrant Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this book. So many, many countless people died in preparation of this book. So many people died just by reading this book, martyred for the sake of even owning a copy of the Word of God. We in America have so many copies of the Word of God, and many of us have several copies, and yet, Lord, we take it for granted. So many people spend so much time in front of a television or a computer or something and very little time in their Bibles. Help us, Lord, to realize and recognize the importance of reading our Bibles through. Lord, bless the Word of God tonight. Bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. This Bible, this book, contains the mind of God. You want to know about God, you read your Bible. You'll find out about God. This Bible also contains the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. You read it to be wise, you believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its sacred contents. That's the Word of God. Last week, I gave you point number one of this message, is the Bible is indispensable. You can't live without it. A Christian cannot live without the Word of God. A human being cannot live eternally without the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I said that it last week, it convicts, it converts, it cleanses, it corrects, it conquers, it changes, it cheers, it comforts, it communicates, it condemns, it counsels, and it cures everything that's wrong with mankind. We talked about the different symbols of the Bible, the milk, the meat, the bread, the honey, the water. And I had said that, man, there's a meal right there. There's the main course and dessert, because the Bible is likened to honey. And so we have everything we need when it comes to the Word of God. The Bible is likened to a mirror, a seed, a lamp, a sword, a hammer. And so that's the Word of God. It is indispensable. You can't live without it. How valuable is your Bible tonight? Is it worth anything to you? This one here that I have in front of me, I think it cost me maybe $60 when I ordered it through one of those Bible publishing places, and some Bibles are expensive. I've got one that's, but it was $100. It's got lambskin on it, and I've got other Bibles that are, you know, a couple bucks to buy in a store. You go to Ollie's. You want some good Bibles? You go over to Ollie's. Now they have King James and other things, but you find a King James Bible at Ollie's, and they have some beautiful Bibles. We have them in our bookstore. And whatever that little red tag is on there, that's what we sell them for. We buy them for that. James gets over there often, and he'll buy a whole bunch of Bibles and bring them back. And that's what they're there. They're there for us to, and we give most of them away anyway. I don't believe in making money on the Word of God. I don't believe in making a profit on God's Word. We have given more Bibles away than we've ever sold in this church. And that's just where I mean, some people think you're crazy. You need to make a profit so you can replace. Well, God does the replacement. We don't do that. Secondly, the Bible is indestructible. It's indestructible. You cannot destroy it. And you know why? Because it's God's Word. You can't destroy God. How are you going to destroy His Word? Countless people have tried and attempted to destroy the Word of God down through the ages, but they have never been able to destroy God's Word. Ulysses S. Grant said this, "Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives." Ulysses S. Grant said. Philip Brooks said, "The Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he only looks at the telescope, he does not see anything but that. The Bible is a thing to be looked through to see that which is beyond. Most people only look at it, and so they only look at it as a dead letter." I love what Brother Serino said this morning. You know, you don't just put the Bible under your pillow at night and expect to bring you good luck. You don't set your Bible on your dashboard, expect you to bring you good luck when you're driving down the road. All it's going to do is the sun is going to discolor the cover of the Bible. That's all it is. I've known some people that'll put it in the back window of their car, just hoping to have the copy of God's Word with them that brings them luck. Now, I always have a New Testament on me all the time. I don't carry it for luck. I carry it, so if I need to use it, I've got it on me. It's not only a weapon, this book, but it's also a blessing. And so if you're sitting somewhere, you know, you can open up the Bible. Now, I know people have it on their phones, and nowadays we got these smartphones or non-smartphones, I don't know. But we cherish the Word of God. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. Big difference. George Mueller, who was known for his strong faith, confided this. "The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I have read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, testified this, and I quote, "Read the Bible and then read it again. And do not despair of help to understand something of the will and mind of God, though you think they are fast locked up from you. Neither trouble yourself, though you may not have commentaries and expositions. Pray and read and pray and read, for a little from God is better than a great deal from man." A little from God is better than a great deal from man. I refer to commentaries often when I'm doing a study, but God's Word is perfect. Commentaries are not perfect. What some man writes can be flawed and filled with error. But this Bible has no flaws and it has no error in it. There has been those that have tried to destroy God's Word down through the centuries. Voltaire was a French man, and he was a philosopher and all of that. He once said, and I've shared this with you before, another century, there will not be a Bible on the earth. The century is gone, and the circulation of the Bible is one of the marvels of the age. After he died, his old printing press in the very house where he lived was purchased by the Geneva Bible Society and was made a depot for Bibles. On December 24th, 1933, the British government bought the valuable Codex Sinaiticus from the Russians for $500,000, and on the same day, a first edition of Voltaire's work sold for 11 cents in Paris bookshops. Thomas Paine, another philosopher and a patriot in the early founding of this country, once said this, "I have gone through the Bible as a man would go through a forest with an axe to fell trees. I have cut down tree after tree. Here they lie. They will never grow again." Thomas Paine thought that he had demolished the Bible, but since he crawled into a drunkard's grave in 1809, the Bible has leaped forward as never before. Joseph Stalin, that bloody butcher, took over all of Russia at the death of Lenin in the late 20s. From this point on until his death in the 50s, Stalin instituted a ban of the Bible and purged the USSR, such as had never been witnessed before. This miserable man literally attempted to wipe the Word of God and the God of the Word from the Russian minds. He failed to succeed. A recent poll taken in Russia shows that today more people than ever believe in the Bible and in the God of the Bible. The Bible is a sure foundation. The Bible will never be destroyed. It'll never be demolished. People fail to read God's Word and they close the Bible up and they ignored it, but God's Word is still going to be there. You and I will be judged from this book someday. It would do you good to know some of this book, if it's going to be opened at your judgment day and my judgment day. But we have people today that find all kinds of other things to do than read their Bible. Pastor, I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm too busy. I work all day. I got family matters. I've got other things that's going on. I don't have time to read the Bible. You need to take time to read the Bible. Yeah. Having no time is no excuse. Right. You make time to read the Bible. You know what? I'll never have time to read the Bible either. You won't have time to read the Bible either with that kind of an attitude. Mm-hmm. You have to make time. You have to take time. It's a discipline. Psalm 119, verse 89. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." How do you destroy something that's settled in heaven? Can anybody enter heaven and try to destroy God's word? Will that ever succeed? Of course not. You know that. I know that. I mean, the souls that are in heaven today are going to last forever, right? The people that have gone on before us, they're there. They're there forever. It's eternity. It's everlasting. It's not going to be destroyed. If God's word is settled in heaven, nobody, even Satan himself, cannot enter heaven and destroy God's word. Satan cannot destroy. He'll try. He's been trying since Genesis chapter 3 to destroy and discredit the word of God, but he'll never be able to succeed at that. Never. He has tried with different versions, obviously, these other ones that even Chris brought up tonight, this new one. I mean, he will attempt to revise and change the Word of God, but remember, God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled in heaven. Voltaire tried, Thomas Paine tried, Joseph Stalin tried, Satan has tried. And no one has ever succeeded in destroying God's Word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. Let me just say this too while you're turning over. The thrust of this message is not to give you just some head knowledge of the Bible. The thrust of the message is to, if you're not in the Bible, to get you in the Bible. The thrust of the message is to get you to read through the Bible. Somebody recently, I think it was last week or the week before, there's a new lady that's been coming every week, and that's been a blessing. Every week she brings somebody new with her. Praise God for that. Last week she wanted one of our Bible reading calendars. That, to me, is a blessing. We still have some Bible reading calendars here. And it's not too late to start reading your Bible through. If you're not reading your Bible through, get a calendar and read the Bible through. Use something like that that disciplines you and reading it. There's other great programs out there. Use something. Use your own discipline to get through that Bible. That's what you should be attempting to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 24. 1 Peter 1, 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth how long?
Forever.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Peter wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so we know that God's word will never, ever fail. It is indestructible. It's only destroyed when you won't open up and read it. How many lives have been destroyed by people ignoring the Word of God? You may even be able to give testimony yourself. We won't do that. But you've ignored the Word of God maybe somewhere in your past. You've not read God's Word. You drifted away from God, and you know what that did to you. You might have family members. Amen. We have family members that know what the Bible says, but they ignore it. You try to help them by quoting Scripture, and they just ignore it. It's just something that they ignore. They don't want to hear it. If we would just live this book, it's not that we're going to be perfect. It's not that all problems are going to dissipate and go away. But I'll tell you, the Bible says that we will be happy when we fear God and we're in this book every day. We'll be blessed by God in a tremendous way when we faithfully read His Word on a regular basis. What else can change your life other than the Bible?
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing. Why do you think Satan is so adamantly against the Word of God? Why does he work so hard in trying to keep you and I from reading God's Word? Because he knows what it does to human beings. It changes us. It makes us into the Christians that we need to be for God's glory. It brings honor and glory to God when we spend time in the Word of God. I know many of you here, you're in a Bible reading program, you're reading your Bible through, you read it through maybe several times a year, and maybe it seems like this is just, I already know all of this. I already got it down. Well, praise the Lord. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I read it every day. I read it through I go through it all the time. I'm reading it constantly. I'm ahead in my Bible reading. I enjoy reading it on a regular basis myself. I read it every single day of my life. I read it when we're traveling. I still read God's Word. We go on vacation. I read God's Word. We go camping. I read God's Word. We fly to Florida. I read God's Word. I just have to get up earlier, and I have to find a quiet place where I can read God's Word. I'll read it flying down to Florida. I read all of 1 John, I think once or twice. I just read, just read God's Word. If you look for time to read God's Word, God will give you the time to read His Word. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 35. Again, talking about how the Bible is indestructible. It's indispensable. It's indestructible. 24:35, Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I like it when it says words, plural. That's this book right here. That's God's words. They'll never, ever be destroyed. I don't understand it all. When we get to heaven, I don't know if there's going to be a big copy of the Bible up there. And somebody said a King James Bible is going to be there. I really don't. I can't say yay or nay for sure. I don't know. I do know this. If this book is the Word of God, it's going to be there. I don't know how it's going to be there. I don't know what kind of print it's going to have. We don't know that. No human being knows that. But we do know that the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. So there is going to be this blessed book, I believe, is going to be there. I believe this book was going to be there. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll be able to see this blessed book for all eternity. We'll be able to understand things we've never been able to understand before. I love what Brother Serino said this morning. We can't understand everything in this Bible. There are certain things that Jesus said that you and I can't say. There's certain things that Jesus did that we obviously can't do. There's certain things in his book that I haven't got it yet. It's like, you know, pull out another hair trying to figure out what it is. I don't know. We don't have it all yet. Thank God for the time that we're going to be able to spend with Jesus, and we're going to be able to find out a lot of things as he teaches us during the millennial reign of Christ and beyond, how much we're going to learn from this book. The Bible is, again, it's indestructible. You can't destroy it. Thirdly, the Bible is infallible. It's infallible. You know what that means? What's infallible mean? Unfailing, without error. Without error. Somebody walks up to you and says, that Bible is full of contradictions. Just hand it to them and say, show me one. That's all I want. Just show me one. And see if they can pick out a contradiction from God's Word. There are certain people that have gone through this Bible, like Thomas Paine did and Voltaire and others, to try to find where God has supposedly made a mistake. There are no mistakes in this book. Now, there are areas in the Bible, especially in Kings and Chronicles and even in Samuel, there's some numbers that just don't kind of, you got to kind of figure out what the numbers are. And once you figure them out and you go back and forth and study them out, they make a lot of sense. It takes study. An apparent contradiction, that's all it is. It's an apparent contradiction. It's not a true contradiction. There are no mistakes in God's Word. The Bible is infallible. Nothing. There's not a mistake in it. The Bible is, we say three things. I like to say three things, and I'm going to give you scripture on all three of these things. The Bible is perfect. The Bible is pure. The Bible is preserved. I use the three P's. And let's look at some scripture that deals with those three P's. Look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, the 19th Psalm, look at verse 7. The Bible is perfect. I believe that with all my heart, that this book is perfect. Psalm 19, verse 7. There's a passage of Scripture, there's a verse that tells me that this Bible is perfect. So I cling to the Word of God. If somebody ever tells you that the Bible's not perfect, just show them this verse right here. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is what? Say it with me. Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So I like that verse because the Bible tells me that the law of God, the Word of God, and that's what that's referring to. You know what that's referring to, right? Is the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. I like to take the Bible literally and just look at what it says and use it and say, if God says the book is perfect, then it's perfect. And I don't squibble over the meanings and things and, well, you know, but that's not what really what he meant. What do you mean it's, that's not what? If he didn't mean that, why did he put it in there? Right. It's perfect. Take a look at James 1:17. I like this verse. James chapter 1 and verse 17. I did have somebody tell me one time, well, that book's not perfect because there's nothing perfect here. Well, I'll tell you that. God's Word is perfect. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. It says this in James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. Now, I know the Word of God is not mentioned there anywhere. and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When I read that verse and I see that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, anything that God does is perfect. Anything that God gives is what? It's perfect. If every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, tell me, where did we get this Bible? We got it from above. We got it from God Almighty. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, this book is inspired. This came from God. And so when it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, who gave us this book? The Father of lights. This book is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I know it doesn't mention the Word of God, but when you think about where we get everything, that to me tells me that this book is perfect. With whom is no variableness. This Bible doesn't have any variableness in it. It is the Word of God. It tells us who we are, tells us what we're like, tells us what we should be. Brother Serino said this morning, we need to work on our holiness. Amen. We need to be a more holy people. Is what we need to be. Neither shadow of turning. Problem is with man is we turn and we do what we want to do and we ignore what the Bible says. So again, the Bible is infallible. It's perfect. Also, go back to Psalm 12. Go to Psalm 12. Not only is the Bible perfect, it's pure. Pure. Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, the 12th Psalm, verse 6. And so we saw already that in Psalm 19, verse 7, we sing it when Rich is here. We sing that little, I call it a little ditty, but it's not a little ditty. We sing the Word of God, amen? It's perfect, but it's also pure. 12:6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from this generation forever. And so the Word of God is pure. Look at Psalm 119, 140. Psalm 119 and verse 140. Psalm 119, verse 40. Now I gotta be honest with you. We see a lot today that this is pure, you know, pure. Now honey to me is very pure. It is one of the purest things on the planet. It can survive for thousands of years. They have found honey in the Egyptian mummies' caskets that have been there for thousands of years, and it's still as good as today as it was then. That's amazing to me. Honey is one of those perfect things that God put on this planet. As long as you don't mix anything in with it, it could last for thousands of years, hundreds and thousands of years. And when we think about things that are pure, the most purest thing on the planet right now is God's Word. That is the purest. You don't get it any purer than this. 140, it says, Thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant what? Loveth it. Isn't it good to love pure things? I do love honey. I got to be honest with you. I enjoy honey. I think honey is great. I like it on stuff. I'll eat it. It's good. God gave it to us. It's some of the sweetest stuff on the planet, and it's one of the more pure things that we can see. And so the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is pure. But we all already just saw here a moment ago, back to Psalm 12 in verse 7, the Word of God is preserved. It's preserved. We're coming into our gardening season. And so people like to take things and they'll preserve them. Jams and jellies and they'll can things. My mother used to can everything. I mean, if it was cannibal, that's not a good word. Cannibal. Preservable. But when you can something, isn't it cannibal? I don't know. We all know what a cannibal is. That's not what I'm referring to. But if she could can it, all right, that's better. If she could can it, she canned it. If she could freeze something, she'd freeze it. I mean, that woman was an amazing, my mother was amazing. I mean, our basement was full of stuff. We had food I mean, we could survive for months and months and months, probably, and even years. When my mother passed away and the house was sold and all that other stuff, we went downstairs and we still found some of her canned goods down there. Now, I don't know if they were good, but nobody ate them, I don't think. But we found just, I don't know, hundreds of canning jars and stuff that she used. I still have some of her canning jars that she used years and years and years. And Kathy has used some of my mother's canning jars. But she would preserve things. And yet there's nothing more preserved than God's Word. God has preserved His Word. It's perfected, it's purified, as the Bible says, and it's also preserved. God is infallible, so His Word must be infallible. God doesn't make mistakes, so why would the Bible, His Word, have any mistakes in it? Right? Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. I'm just a simple, kind of a, you call us, a, you know, simple preacher, simple country preacher. That makes sense to me. If God is perfect, His Word must be perfect. The Bible is historically accurate. The Bible is not just a history book, but when it mentions history, it's absolutely accurate. It has never been proven false. Never. All the archaeology, anytime they dig up something over in the Middle East or somewhere, they find out that proves that the Bible is true. They thought that Abraham didn't exist and the Ur of the Chaldees was just fictitious, a fictitious place. And still they started doing some digging and they found out, hey, yeah, this Ur of the Chaldees is a real place. And Abraham is real. They found his name on cuneiform and found all kinds of things. When you do some digging, you'll find that the Bible is extremely accurate when it comes to historical things. The Bible is a scientific book, even though it's not completely a science book. It's extremely scientifically accurate. There's no conflict between true science. We're not talking about man science. We're not talking about evolution. We're talking about true science. True science are facts related to scientific things that you can prove. That's what science is. The first two laws of thermodynamics are proven in the Bible. And they are the most basic scientific laws on the planet, are the two laws of thermodynamics. Nothing is being recreated or being created. And secondly, everything that has been made is decomposing and it is breaking down. Second law of thermodynamics. I mean, it's just look at your own body. Look around. I mean, it's incredible. Somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, you look at them and say, ooh, they're getting old. Well, go look in the mirror. So are you. Because they thought the same thing about you. They hadn't seen you in a long time. Ooh, they're looking old. We're breaking down, folks. Everything breaks down. Your car breaks down. The chairs are getting worn out and old. The pulpit's getting worn out and old. The preacher behind it is getting worn out and old. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. You're getting worn out and old. The things you have in your house is breaking down. You gotta fix your house. You gotta fix this. You gotta fix that. Why? Because it's the second law of thermodynamics. The Bible is also prophetically accurate. Over 300 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ by His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. 300 prophecies related to that. That's God wrote this book. Because there's no way that any man could write this book and put those prophecies hundreds and thousands of years earlier in the Bible and have it come out accurate. There's no way. And number four, we're done. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is inspired. Simply means it was breathed by God, penned by man. But man did not write anything down that God did not tell him to write down. What God told man to do, what God told man to write down, he wrote it down. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 21. 2 Peter 1. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost told these men what to write and they wrote it down. And if the Holy Ghost didn't tell them to write it, they didn't write it. They only wrote what the Holy Ghost told them to write. These were holy men. These were men that was used. They were used by God. They were not perfect men. They had issues. They were sinners. Look at David. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at all of them that wrote anything in the Word of God. They were not perfect men, but God used those men. And God referred to those men as holy men. Because when God was speaking to them and they were writing the Word of God, they were holy men. They could not write and pen what God told them to write if God wasn't in it and God wasn't allowing them to be holy because they were recording God's holy word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know these verses, but 2 Timothy 3, we'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture. Not part of it, not some of it, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, not just the Proverbs, not just the... No, the whole thing has been inspired by God. So how much do you read from the Word of God? You read the whole thing. If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, listen, you don't have a right to just pick and choose and read whatever you want to read. You need to read what God wants you to read. You're going to get much more out of your Bible if you're reading it through or some kind of a discipline program when you read it through and get through the entire thing. You start and you finish reading your Bible through. Make it a discipline. Set up extra time in your daily busy schedule to make sure that you have time to read God's Word. Instead of just wasting your time, why don't you use your time for God? I know, listen, we waste a lot of time. Don't sit there and say, no, not me. I don't waste any time. Yes, you do. We all waste time. Amen. Waste time. So often we waste time. That's the only thing God gave us, and yet we waste and throw it away constantly. Always wasting time. Shame on us. We ought to look for opportunities to read God's Word. There are all kinds of opportunities that God will give you to read His Word. And if you can't read it, in this day and age with high technology that we have, you can listen to it. And I believe it's wonderful if you can listen to God's Word. Driving down the road, listen to God's Word. Somewhere working around. Kathy, many times, she's working in the kitchen and she plugs in that Bible and she's listening to it being read. And she had it on this morning when she was trying to make her dishes for the dinner today. She's listening to the Word of God this morning in the kitchen, listening to it. Listen, find times. Keep the stupid TV off. Amen. And that we have a hard time with that. I know. Because most of us are addicted to it. Shame on us. We're addicted to it. Some are, not everybody. But people get addicted to things like that. And that uses up so much of our time that we could be spending it in God's Word. Folks, this book is so important. This is God's Word. It's amazing. Now, I know this just, you know, it's got some little bit of leather here and some pages and a whole bunch of ink. But this was given to us by God. When you read this, you're reading about God. You're getting the heart of God. You're reading the mind of God. And He's telling you what you need to be doing too. Satan hates this book. Hates this book with a passion. He hates it when you read it. He hates it when you're thinking about reading it. And he'll find every excuse and he'll throw them at you, one after the other, for not reading God's Word. And you've fallen into that trap before. Yes, you have, as I have. We fall into that trap once in a while. We're not reading God's Word like we should. We leave it alone. We've got other things. We're too busy. Those two words are so prevalent in our vocabulary. I'm too busy. Too busy. Too busy to come to church. Too busy to pray. Too busy to read. Too busy to witness. Too busy to this. Too busy to... Well, you know, you remember what J.C. Penney said? If you're too busy to come to church on a Wednesday night, you're too busy. Yeah. J.C. Penney said that. You ever heard of J.C. Penney? Yeah. I think we've all heard of J.C. Penney. That's a you know, household name. He was a Sunday school teacher. He'd go to every church service that his church had. And we have Christians today that could be in church more, but they just choose not to. You know, And we have Christians that could read their Bible, but they just don't. Shame on us. This is the most important book in the world. You believe that? Yes or no? Is it the most important book in the world? Then why don't we read it? Is this God's Word? Yes or no? It's God's Word? Is it perfect? Is it pure? Is it preserved? Is it infallible? Is there any mistakes in it?
No.
The only mistakes you find in this Bible is the mistakes that man has made down through the history of man. I preached a message one time, the mistakes I found in the King James Bible. And everybody, what? No, it was the mistake of, you know, the sin of Adam and Eve. That was a mistake, you know, but it was a sin. And all through the history of the Bible, there's all kinds of mistakes that man made, but not one that God ever made. I'm always amazed that God never made a mistake in his life. You ever make a mistake? Jeez. Every day we make mistakes, right? God's never made one. In the history of God, he's never made a mistake. In the history of this book, there's not a mistake in it. And yet we don't spend much time in it at all at times. Let's get back to our Bible. Get a discipline to read the Word of God every day of your life. If you haven't read it today, read it before you go to bed tonight. Amen. Tomorrow morning, when Monday comes, read the Word of God. Find a time in your daily busy schedule to read the Word of God. When Tuesday comes, what do? You find time to read God's Word. I really don't know anything more important than that. And if you find something more important than that, you let me know what that is, okay? But I don't think any Christian can tell me there's anything more important to do than read God's Word. Because this will change your life. Nothing else will change your life like this. You can come to all the church services. You can come every single day and hear some preacher, me or somebody else preach. That's not going to change your life like this will change your life. Father, thank you again for your Word. You're so good to us. So good to give us this blessed book. Lord, we appreciate it. Thank you for it. It's perfect. It's pure. It's preserved. It's inspired. It's infallible.